So we'll start with invocation prayers. What she did last week, Bhurijan Prabhu in his unveiling of the lotus feet has described it very beautifully, point by point, the 14 stages of devotion. And we will go through the first 5 points that she had covered. And also in the same verses, he had also described various anarthas. And those were also very described very, very beautifully. So I would like to take some time to go through that, because the next, all the next verses cover the rest of all the 14 points. And so I would like to cover all that. We will go through the Srimad Bhagavatam verses 1 through 18, 21. I have a session summary, and hopefully I can make some of you smile towards the end. Let's seek the invocation prayer. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narotama devim saraswati vyasam tato jayam putriye. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagvata sevaya bhagvate uktam shloke bhaktir bhavatir naishtiki. Srila Vaishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes 14 stages of spiritual life. The first 5 stages were covered in here. The first one was Satatam Kripa, mercy of devotees. This is the very first step. In order to do anything, you have to have the mercy of devotees. Without the mercy of devotees, you cannot do anything. And in order to get the mercy of devotees, we have to be in association with them. There is one thing which we always hear about relationships. Even if I went on the website searching about relationships, and this was a marriage website, and I got 3 things which even we as devotees have learnt all the time. In order to have any relationship with anybody, you have to first relate to them. You have to first understand who they are, what they are, whether or not you can even relate to them. What is your relationship? If I don't know somebody is my mother, I cannot relate to her. In the same way, not everybody is my brother or my sister or my mother. My relationship with my mother is very unique. So because I relate to my mother, then I can take the next step of anything. But if I do not relate to something, I cannot do it. So for a devotee, it is very crucial to be compassionate. You never know whom your mercy will affect. And what is a devotee? Anybody who believes in Krishna. Anybody who believes that, okay, I am under the shelter of Krishna, Rakhe Krishna, and I am happy. Then we are under the mercy of devotee. And then that is the mercy, a compassion. You do not have to identify whether you are a devotee or not. That is not your job. That is Krishna's job to identify whether you are a devotee. You are a spirit soul. You are a part and parcel of Krishna. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. When Lord Rama was building the bridge to Lanka, the service of the small squirrel was not different than Hanuman. Everybody got the same benefit. So who are we to decide who is a devotee, who is not a devotee? You be compassionate, whether the opposite person, whoever it is. And so that mercy is very much required. Once you have the mercy, then you realize, oh, this person is so nice to me. Then naturally, the Mahat Seva begins. The Mahat Seva is where we decide, okay, we have to now serve these devotees and in whatever capacity we can. The pebble put by the squirrel and the giant rocks put by Hanuman had equal value on the bridge. And even today, we glorify the squirrel because she also was working in whatever capacity she had. And that is Mahat Seva. Don't identify whether you can do something or not do something. Keep doing the service in whatever way you can. If you cannot go to the temple one day, think of Krishna while you are at home. And that is your service to Krishna. Krishna's service doesn't mean that all the time we have to be doing something. Just thinking about him, engaging him, engaging in his worship, taking care of him. Everything counts. Even mentally, thinking about Krishna counts. So that is a service to Krishna. And when we start serving the devotees, it is much higher. As we go further, there is a very nice statement about Prabhupada in which he has quoted Lord Shiva. When we go through that, I will talk about it. Okay. Faith. How can you do anything without faith? You cannot if you do not have faith, then you are done with. In any process, faith is required, whether it is a material process, a spiritual process. A baby has a complete faith in what is being done by his mother or father. Even if the parents are evil, the baby does not leave its faith. Even when we see all the time in the news, this kid was abandoned at birth, and still the kid has the faith that somewhere my father, my mother loves me. That faith is very powerful. So how can we not have faith that Krishna loves us? And if we do not have, if we have the faith Krishna loves us, how are we not hankering for the love? How are we not wanting the faith? If our material parents' acceptance, their love is so crucial to us, I always used to say, you know, I would love it when my mother would tell something nice to me, because compliments were very rare from her. If I have so deep need of acceptance from my mother, how can I not wish for that acceptance from Krishna? And that faith is very powerful. If you do not have faith, you are done with. Then you do not have anything, and all negativity is towards you. And with negativity, you cannot do anything. So faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, which has been given to us, has been to be continuous. You cannot say that today Krishna did this to me, so it is bad. In my personal experience, I have found whenever bad things happen to me, I find they are actually much more of a blessing to me. It is because when Krishna does bad things to me, my faith in him goes stronger. And when I believe that, oh, Krishna will take care of me, no problem. I remember 12 years, 13 years ago, I lost my job. And I just started the job at a different company at QFC. And I was talking to Hari Vilas Prabhu, I don't know what to do, you know. I still need to work because of, you know, my need and my internal need is I am not a satisfied person. I need to be constantly engaged in whatever activities is, mundane or spiritual. I need to be engaged. Hari Vilas Prabhu said, just have faith in Krishna. Leave it to him and everything will work out. So, you know, I said, okay, I prayed to Krishna. I was barely a devotee at that time. I think I was not even in a baby step. But because Hari Vilas Prabhu said to me, I put complete faith. In very few days, I found the job and I'm still in the job. In that three years I had changed three jobs. And I'm still in the job. This job worked out so good for me. That is faith, that Krishna will take care of me. You know, what today's misfortune is tomorrow's good fortune, if you know how to take it. And that is very crucial. You do Krishna Sharan, and then see what Krishna does for you. Guru Prasadya, shelter of Guru. Nobody can deny here about the need of a Guru in our life. And without the shelter of Guru, you are nothing. Your Guru guides you at every step, holding your finger, letting you know where to go. Even if you want to go on the wrong side, he pulls you back, saying, no, don't go there, come back. But without that shelter, we are roaming around, not knowing where to go next. So it is very crucial for us to accept Guru at any point or some point in our life. Without acceptance of Guru, you cannot progress further. Everything stops without the shelter of Guru. Just like if a child doesn't have proper shelter of an older person, a father or a mother, he is not trained properly in most of the things. And all the training comes out, maybe mostly is not correct. And eventually life will train him in a way, but not right again. But the same thing, if you have a shelter of a guru, our training is perfect. No matter what the guru says, we will have the perfect training. And thereby comes point three, faith in guru. Faith, whatever guru does, is perfect for it. Thereby, it comes by service to guru. And we can only do that because we receive the mercy of our Guru. And the last stage that was discussed last week was Bhajaneshuspraha. Eagerness to worship. You cannot not have eagerness to worship. It starts with your Guru. Eagerness to worship your Guru, do your service to Guru. It starts with there. You do everything to the Sharan of Guru and it goes directly to Krishna. You do everything for Krishna doesn't mean that you are doing it for your Guru. Krishna may be pleased, may not be pleased by your service. But every little thing you do for your Guru, definitely your Guru is pleased. And because Guru is pleased, Krishna is pleased. So thereby, that eagerness has to be there. That greed has to be there. I want to do Bhajaneshu. I want to do something for Krishna. Even if it is tiny bit. To my maximum capacity. We do not decide, okay, I only have 10 minutes today. in my day. The other rest of the time I am going to do whatever I need to do. But the 10 minutes maybe I can spare to Krishna. We have to figure out how can we get that 10 minutes longer. And how can we increase the time. I see, you know, when we were in the materialistic stage, we all watched movies. And watching a 3-hour movie was no big deal for us. You know, if the movie was not 3 hours, we would say, what a crap movie, you know, there were no songs in there, nothing. That eagerness to watch the movie was very powerful. We'll buy ticket in black to watch the movie, we'll do all kinds of crazy things. So if that eagerness was something so ridiculous is there, then how can we not have the eagerness to do something which is continuous, which will stay with us perpetually? So after serving devotees, what comes next? Krishna reciprocates. Acts within the devotees in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to Godhead. This is such a simple thing. You serve devotees and don't worry about anything else. Because then Krishna will reciprocate naturally. You do not have to worry about anything and he will easily go back to Godhead. While doing this, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur defines the various anarthas that we can have. Krishna is Shruhat. He is our best friend, well-wisher, benefactor. And so, he always tries to remove these anarthas within us. The very first anartha, which all of us have to be super careful, is utsahamayi. As we are progressing in devotional service, we are having lot of enthusiasm. As the enthusiasm increases, we are having lot of pride. Oh, look, Krishna gave me such a great service. I am doing this so nicely. Nobody else can do this service better than me. Ramapada Maharaj, once in his class, somebody asked him, you know, should we be attached to our service? And his answer was, yes, you should be attached to your service and do it to the maximum extent with detachment. So tomorrow, if your guru says, don't do this service anymore, you are not in a state of complete despair that, oh, now what? So at that attachment is needed. Because without attachment, you won't do anything properly. If you are not attached to something, then you do a mediocre job at it. But if you are attached to something, the job is done with lot more care, love and attention. So attachment, enthusiasm needed. But pride, definitely not needed. In fact, if Krishna has given you a service, be very careful. Be very careful because he has empowered you with that service. And I remember at one time I was watching a Spider-Man movie. And in Spider-Man movie, when Spider-Man got all these powers, his uncle told him, with power comes responsibility. You cannot just have a power and not be responsible for that power. That is very true for us. If you are empowered by your service, be very, very responsible about it. And if you are responsible, then your pride is washed away. Because you know who is giving you the service. So be very careful on how we do your service with full enthusiasm and zero pride. Gahana Tarla is moving unsteadily between diligence and negligence. Most of us have the need to eat at multiple times during the day. Even when we are fasting, we have this urge to eat. Especially recently, lot of us have been doing this diet. And you know, we think, oh, if I don't drink so many cups, then my body cannot take it. So we are very diligent about eating that and not negligent about not doing eating it. So, if we are not diligent, our body suffers and we cannot continue with our body. So, if this body made of blood and pus mucus is needing so much care, how can our spiritual life not need the care? How can we not be diligent about it and how can we be negligent about our spiritual things? That diligence and negligence in spiritual life means that it is for you with you perpetually. So, we have to be very careful in executing our services. No negligence and complete diligence in it. And that is how we execute spiritual services, spiritual things. Whatever devotional practices we do, it has to be continuous, cannot stop. Flickering determination. Fireflies are very beautiful, but they do not show their thing for a very long time. That is why nobody relies on a firefly for continuous light. It is temporary. But the sun is perpetual. The moon is perpetual. Because we know that is always there. In the similar way, we have to have determination. Not like a flickering firefly. Today we have light and tomorrow we don't have light. In a few minutes we are gone. Those kind of determination do not take us anywhere. In fact, we fall down very fast. And thereby, that flickering determination has to be cut off from us. If we have made a determination, we have to follow through it. We have to, when we are in the starting stage, make very small commitment. But then make sure that you follow through the commitment, unless and until you truly cannot do it. And when you cannot truly do it, when inside your heart you know you cannot do it. Externally we always say, oh, I have reached my limit, I cannot do it. But internally you know, I can push myself little further. That Paramatma within you is telling you, no, you can, try a little harder, you will be able to do it. But we are thinking, no, no, today I cannot do this service because, you know, I am too tired. I did so much this morning, so I need to take my break. In fact, when we do our service with determination, I find that we will not be tired. During Rath Yatra time, most of us come early, go home late and work like as if we have never worked before, picking up things that we never dreamt. My mother, when she came around 10 years ago, she saw me and Nandasuta when we were doing all these services. We would go to Costco and bring these water bottles and drinks and we would store in the house. So my mother used to get very mad. How can you do this? You are going to break your back. And I'm like, no, Krishna will take care of me. You know, I'm not going to break anything. And if it breaks, that is telling me you rest now. Enough is enough. And he doesn't need my service anymore. Till then, nothing is going to break. So let me continue while my body is working. And so what it means is that we all are doing this during Rath Yatra. I have seen during Rath Yatra, we are on our toes. Anand Mela is coming up. I'm sure a lot of meetings are going up. All of us have services. And we are determined to do the services in the best way possible. That is, and we have to follow through it. Don't be flickering. Be the person whom everybody relies on. And that only comes with proper determination. In your spiritual life, be so determined that Krishna will know that my devotee will go through this task I have given you. And he will also feel that, yes, I can give you. Your guru feels that no matter what, my disciple can do this. And that is determination. Your guru will not give you services if he thinks you may not do it. And that is very sad state for you. So come to a point where you are so reliable that your unreliability is never in question. Whether it is, you start with devotion practices and you will find that even your material life goes very amazing. Because it becomes a standard within you. Always raise your standard. This, all these things, we can actually put this as a standard in your life of not to do in our life. Vishaya Sangraha, ongoing struggle with sense pleasure. Maya is always ready to attack us in whatever way she can. She will come to us and pounce upon us the moment she sees a small gap. We do not want that to happen. And in whatever way we can, we avoid it. That doesn't mean we don't do any sense pleasure. We can always do. And again, you know, I keep on quoting my examples because that is how I relate to a lot of things. I always go camping once a year. That is minimum norm for my family is we take a break, we go camping. And that is done for my sense pleasure. But we also take that time to rejuvenate. We come back and we are more firm in doing our service. When we go there, we will read, we will associate with whoever we have gone with. We relax and we are very happy about it. When Ramapada Maharaj hears that we are going like this, he does not say no. He said, go, it is needed. Because when you come back, you are more eager to do the services because we rejuvenated and you spend that downtime very wisely. In fact, if I look at Ramapada Maharaj's schedule, in June he is coming for Japa retreat and right after that he is taking a break. And it is called reading retreat for him. He is taking a true break. He loves to read and he is reading spiritual scriptures. So his senses are satisfied and he is getting pleasure in it. Last time we were talking about this, about, you know, Bhagavad Dharma. That is what it is. When you satisfy things with Krishna, your sense pleasures are automatically satisfied. You need to watch movies. There are so many beautiful Krishna movies out there. Watch one of them. Following Prabhupada has been come just because of that, because we need this need to watch TV and movie all the time. Prabhupada movies are there. So many beautiful movies are there. Watch them. Your pleasure, your senses are satisfied. At the same time, you are doing it with Krishna, enjoying with Krishna. As the root is satisfied, everything is satisfied. If you do everything with Krishna, then there is everything, all your senses are satisfied. Inability to improve devotional services. This is actually very pathetic. If we cannot do that. I have two daughters, Aditi and Sachi. If Aditi, such 8 years, behaved like she was a 3-year-old, I would call her, are you foolish? Are you an immature person? You are an 8-year-old. Why have you to behave like a baby? Can you not think and behave properly? Vice versa, it will go to Aditi also if she behaves like Sachin. And tomorrow if I behave like either of them, I guess what you guys will tell me? She has lost her senses. She is not matured. So if we are not maturing, then we are called foolish. So as we are going through our devotional practices, how can we not mature? Every state of maturity is an improvement for us. So we have to mature in our devotional services. We have to go to the next level. We have to grow up. I started with baby steps. If I am still at baby steps, 17 years later, something is wrong with me. Something is definitely wrong with me. So we have to figure out how to improve and mature in our devotional services. Last, delighting in material facilities that bhakti produces. This is one of the things which is a big no-no, which everybody tells us about it. As you do bhakti, Krishna is going to take care of a lot of things for you. He is going to remove a lot of obstacles in your path. He might give you a lot of opulences that you need. And if you start relishing them and thinking they are all mine, then that will be a big problem. Because Krishna will take all that away in a blink. And then we will not know what to do. So if we use everything in Krishna's service, everything that Krishna does back into Krishna's service, then Krishna will give us everything we need. The six Goswamis had nothing to their name, but they were the most happiest people in this universe. There was nobody more happier than them. They lived under a tree, they had one cloth with them, sometimes no salt to eat, but they were so happy because they did not need anything. Prabhupada, one time I heard a lecture and it said that Prabhupada was once talking to the devotees in the room. And one disciple came and put this big stack of money in front of him. Prabhupada, and he said, this is the collection and donation for so and so. Prabhupada barely looked at it. He looked at the devotee, he nodded and he continued. He was not happy the money was there. Ooh, money, yay, I can use it now. He was good, I can use it in Krishna's services. So he was not attracted to what his devotional services produced. He was happy that there were so many people around him and he was relishing the true Krishna consciousness by association. And whatever else was produced is a byproduct. The actual product is what we have by what bhakti produces. But when we use that product of bhakti wrong way, then it becomes mundane and then we suffer for it. What occurs after we become eager to hear, which begins after clearing material desires? This is 1.18. Nashta praeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya diyattam shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service onto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established by irrevocable facts. Key points to this are, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving devotees, all inauspiciousness is completely destroyed. This is the key of this whole verse, which we sing all the time. All the time we talk, sing this verse as soon as we start Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what it is all about. Srila Prabhupada is saying, Shanasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Not all cleansed, but praya. Say 75% cleansed. At that time, you become fixed up in devotional service, naishtiki. There are different stages of devotional service that I have explained several times. First of all, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti Sayat. When Anartha Nivritti Sayat, all unwanted things are finished. At that time, Nishtha, firm faith. So, Bhagavata Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So long there are dirty things, our faith and devotion in Krishna is not very fixed up. Sometimes we deviate, we go away. But then Nashta Prayeshu, when 75% of dirty things are cleansed, then our faith in God becomes fixed up. Bhagavate Uttama Shloke. So, Prabhupada is explaining very beautifully here that we have so many dirty things. We have a huge cleansing process to go through. And we have to figure out how to cleanse it. We cannot do the cleansing on our own. We need help. If tomorrow I picked one of you and said, you are in charge of Maha cleanup in the temple and you have to do it all by yourself, I think you will faint right there and there. Because it is impossible to one person to clean the whole temple by themselves. But all of us go in there and say, okay, let's start the cleaning. Let's take every piece of one piece and start that cleansing process. Then guess what? The temple will be so gorgeous, we won't be able to even recognize it. That is called association and devotion. Because by together we did it, the cleansing so fast. So in the same way, when we have so many abhadreshus in our heart, we cannot clean it on our own. We need association of devotees. We need to hang out with them and find out how can we clean it with their help. The scrubbing process is with them. When we all take up the ingredients of cleaners and the scrub, and together we start the scrubbing, then the scrubbing is much faster. But when we try and do it by ourselves, it doesn't happen. So Prabhupada is explaining, by serving devotees, it is completely destroyed. But we have to do that in association. Try and do it on yourself, chances are you will fail. Or you will take very long time to do it. Prabhupada always gives this example of reaching to the higher planets via an elevator or the stairs. You can pick whatever you want and the process is the same. The cleaning and the scrubbing and the chemicals, everything is the same. Prabhupada has given us what cleaning materials to use, which scrubs to use. Whether we use it in association with other devotees and go by the elevator or try it all by ourselves and go step by step by step and taking a long time to clean. So always, always try to serve devotees in whatever capacity we can. Tomorrow you see a scrap of paper lying in the temple, pick it up. That is your service to other devotees, because you are keeping the temple clean. Who knows who will come and see that temple is clean and will be inspired by it. That look, so many people coming, the temple is clean. We always see Harivilas Prabhu doing that and we have to learn from that. It's small steps with service to devotees. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Remember Bhagavatam at all time. Serve Bhagavatas at all time. In this verse, Srila Prabhupada has explained multiple times on Bhagavatam and Bhagavatas. He has distinguished these two things very beautifully. Devotee Bhagavata is as good as a book Bhagavata, because devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of book Bhagavata. So they both are identical. Bhagavata is direct representative of Krishna or Bhagwan, of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by pleasing devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. The devotee Bhagavata is very supreme because he leads the life which is given in the book Bhagavata. So he is not leaving anything, doing anything which is not in the book Bhagavata. So a devotee Bhagavata is representation of the book Bhagavata. And so Prabhupada is saying they are both equal. Uttama Adhikari is because he sees everybody the same. Because he is living truly by the book Bhagavata. And thereby we have to be very service attitude towards them. Narada Muni, that's all he did. He hung out with those stages. That was his, for those months that he was there, he was fully with them, doing whatever mundane services. How much can a 6-year-old boy do? We see so many kids around us. And we see the limitations of these kids. How much can he do? But his eagerness was so powerful to hang out with these Bhagavatas. And because he heard from this Bhagavatas, the message of Bhagavatam, he got full benefit of it. He didn't have to do anything else. So you hang out with devotee Bhagavata because and all they will speak is the message of Bhagavatam. What else do you need? There is your elevator to Krishna consciousness. And that is what Prabhupada is explaining in here. So this is my punchline. The remedy of eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization, is the association of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. That's all we need to do. This whole verse, it's telling us, remove your inauspicious things, serve the devotee Bhagavata and be in association of the book Bhagavata. So we all understood what the devotee Bhagavata means, one who leads his life by the book Bhagavata. But what is the book Bhagavatam, or what is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam, I'm not going to read everything in here, but Bhagavatam Shravanam Swakatha Krishna, Swakatha Krishna. That is Bhagavatam. Krishna's word given by Krishna. That is Bhagavatam. Just like Bhagavad Gita, Swakatha, in his own words. This is Bhagavata. And Swakatha, Srimad Bhagavatam, is also Swakatha. The Puranas are also Swakatha. Because all these books are given by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is incarnation of Krishna. So, that is also Swakatha. So, we have to hear about Krishna, which is given by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is given by Krishna, and Bhagavata and other Puranas and Vedic literatures are given by Krishna, Dvaipana Vyasa. And the methods taught by Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so everything is Krishna, Krishna's directly. Krishna is Vyasadeva, Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry, everything is Krishna's. Krishna directly. Krishna as Vyasadeva, Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to follow this. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Krishna is teaching how to approach Krishna. That is bona fide. We do not take any other method. That is the authorized method. So Krishna, in this verse, Prabhupada taught us very clearly what is the Bhagavata devotee and what is Bhagavatam. There is no doubt on where we should be hanging out with. Prabhupada also says in one of his lectures, and this is something I was very attracted to. He said here that Bhagavata Seva, not Bhagwan Seva. It is very crucial to remember, you have to serve the Bhagavatas and not Bhagwan. Bhagwan is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Bhagavata means in relationship with Bhagwan, who has got relationship with Bhagwan. So it is recommended Bhagavata Seva, not Bhagwan Seva. The idea is that you cannot approach Bhagwan God directly. That is not possible. First of all, you have to serve Bhagavata, the devotee Bhagavata. Start with the first step. If you try and jump to the topmost step, chances are we will break our body in multiple parts. But if we start with the first step, then Krishna will make us so easy. In couple of steps, he will show us the path to the elevator. But you know, we cannot just say that I'm going to jump and I'm going to reach the top floor. This was also from Prabhupada's lecture, as it shows down here. It is in Los Angeles in 1972. This is something which is very amazing that Prabhupada spoke here. I was really touched by it. So the question was, which worship is best? So Lord Shiva replied, Ardhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Ardhanam Param. My dear Parvati, of all methods of worship, Vishnu worship is topmost. There are many demigod worship, even Lord Shiva's worship. But Lord Shiva says, Vishnu worship is best. Then he says, Tasmat Paratram Devi. My dear Devi, better than Vishnu worship is Tadyanam Samarchanam. Tadya. Tadya means those who are in relationship with Vishnu. Tadya. Just like his devotee, he is Tadya. Tulsi Vriksha. Tulsi is Tadya. Or temple is Tadya. Preaching Tadya. Tadyanam Samarchanam. That, this is Bhagavata. So Lord Shiva recommends that of all methods of worship, Vishnu worship is the best. And better than Vishnu worship is to worship his devotee or things in relationship with him. So he is very clearly identified for us what we should worship, whom we should worship, how we should worship. And still we have all these questions in our mind. The next three stages that Gurujan Prabhu very clearly identifies are bhakti. Once you have finished the fifth stage, then comes bhakti. All good qualities automatically appear in a Bhagavata, and no good separate endeavor is needed if you are following the path of bhakti. Sometimes, you know, we want to do some nice things and we are thinking, oh, I wish I was little bit more good at singing, or I wish I was little bit more at preaching, I wish I was a little bit more at, you know, some other thing. But we do not have to worry about things. As and what we need, Krishna will provide. We have to have that firm faith. If Krishna doesn't want us to sing, we will never get a good voice. And should we be sad about it? No. Because he's not going to leave us in a lurch. He's going to give us something much more amazing than that. And thereby, we should not worry about what we can do. You know, Because whatever Krishna wants us to do, we will do. And that is what it is needed. This bhakti word is used in day out of our life. I found very beautiful meaning of bhakti on ISKCON Desire Tree. This first top one is from Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. And this I will leave for reference. I will leave the one in brief. The meaning of the verse is this. Pure bhakti is continuous, unbroken cultivation of all activities of body, mind, words and spiritual feelings which are meant exclusively for the benefit of Krishna, which are completely free from all other desires and which are not covered by karma, jnana, yoga or any other things. That is bhakti. Krishna in the center, everything else on the side. Tan, man, dhan, vacha. Everything for Krishna. Nothing for your own. You speak about Krishna. You eat prasadam. You do use your body for Krishna. You think about Krishna. You use your great mind, which runs much more at the speed of light, to work for Krishna. In a minute, maybe you can't go to Vrindavan right now. You close your eyes and think on Vrindavan, Krishna will appear towards you. Radha Shyam Sundar will be standing right in front of you. If we have the desire to see Krishna, true desire, he will show us himself. We have to do all these things. Pure bhakti, we use our body, mind, words and our feelings towards Krishna. And then we don't have to worry about going to Krishna. Krishna will come to you. Krishna will be very happy to come to you and take you back with him. We are always worrying about how should I go to Krishna. But if we continue this, what Krishna is teaching us and telling us in bhakti, he will come to us and take us with them. We don't have to worry. Just like when a child cries with his hands raised for his mother, the mother comes running towards him to pick him up. In the same way, if we are also have this intense desire and the only thing on our mind is Krishna and the need to be protected by Krishna, then he will come to us. But that intense desire is not there within us. Brahmapada Maharaj also said this. By glorifying the process of bhakti directly, one is also glorifying the object of devotion, or one is glorifying Krishna directly. Because bhakti is manifest by internal potency of Krishna, and the internal potency is non-different than the Lord, so bhakti is glorified. So when we use our facilities, mind, body, soul in Krishna, then we are glorifying Krishna. Because we are following bhakti, which is internal potency of Krishna. The next stage is disappearance of obstacles. Anarthas are unwanted and dirty things that are hindrances on our path of bhakti. We have so many dark, dirty things in our heart. We may look as very pure externally, but we all know who we are inside. At least I know who I am inside. And I know that I have a huge scrubbing process to go through. But every day we try little bit. It is not that bad thoughts about others will not come to you. They will never stop because inherently we are jealous somewhere. But the moment we do not regret those bad thoughts, then we become envious. And there is no cure for envy. But the moment we regret bad thought, we ask for forgiveness, then we become purified. It is not we have to like everybody around us. But if we do not like somebody around us, then that scrubbing is needed within ourselves. Because we have to cleanse our heart to find out how can we like the other person. Every person is endowed with something special. Every person has a great quality. They may not be like you, but they are very special. In Barney, when Sachi and Aditi used to watch Barney, he would sing this song, you know, where everybody is special. Every child is special and they have a special quality. And kids used to love that because they would feel, I am special. You know, he's telling to every kid, there were 30, 40 kids there, every kid. And hundreds of kids would sing the song and feel special. So every person is special in their own way. It is our fault, our anartha. We cannot recognize that. We see somebody sitting in the temple and not doing anything, we immediately think, oh, they are just lazy. But that is not true. You don't know what they are doing. They might be sitting there and meditating on Krishna. Sanatan Goswami used to sit under the tree and he would just sit, close his eyes and keep thinking. You might think, what is he doing? Is he sleeping? What was he doing? He was actually entering the pastimes of Krishna. And he was enjoying the pastimes with Krishna. But our own anartha may not be able to recognize that. People sometimes used to see him and wonder what he is doing. And you know, be jealous of the fact that he is not doing anything and people are flocking towards him. So, we have to be very careful on how we judge others. When you point, that person is bad. Guess where the other three fingers are pointing at that time? They are pointing towards you. So be very careful on whom you point towards. Because the moment you stop pointing and then you start pointing towards you, then your anartha start to come out. Because you see the bad in yourself. And everybody is a perfectionist for themselves at least. Nobody likes to think that I am imperfect. If somebody criticizes you, you will be very offended by it. Nobody likes that. So we always try to be perfect. And when we point all our fingers to ourselves, we realize our bad points and we try and cleanse ourselves. So remember to hate the sin and not the sinner. There is people who do bad things and you pray that that bad thing goes away. But the person is not bad. The soul is always pure in whatever state it is. And our self-realization, we are not this body, we are this soul. If we recognize that, then we never need to hate the sinner. We always can look at the sin and think that sin is wrong. The sinner is never wrong. How can I help this person so he does not commit the same thing again? Obstacles are to be conquered. On this one, I have a very joke or an antidote that I would like to share. Lot of times obstacles are faced in our way and we become very agitated by them. And sometimes we cannot conquer them because of our agitation or lack of dhira quality. So once upon a time, I read this somewhere and I thought it was very beautiful. There was a lady, she came to her mother and said, "Mom, I am frustrated with my life. I think I wish I would die or I would like to end it." The mom in her own way said, "All right, you come inside and let's sit down." She took her to the table and made her sit on the dining on the chair near the dining table. Then she worked with the stove and started the gas, put water in it in three different pots. In one pot, she took a carrot and put it in there, nice, hard, juicy carrot. In the next pot, she put an egg, fragile egg, and put it in the pot. And the third pot, she put some coffee beans. And she let them boil. After a few minutes, she turned the stove low and let it simmer. After a few minutes, she took everything out. She took a carrot, put it in a plate, egg, put it in a plate, and took the coffee water and put it in a cup. Then she told her daughter, "Now daughter, what do you see?" The daughter looks at all those things and she says, "This carrot has become soft by the boiling process. This egg has become hard by the boiling process." And then she took the coffee and smelled it. This is simmered so good. It smells so nice. So the mother said, when obstacles come in your way, sometimes you go in to be very hard and strong. And then when the process of obstacle starts, you become soft and squishy and don't know what to do next. Or you go in like a hard egg or a fragile egg. And when this process starts of obstacles, hardships start, then you become hard-boiled. You become so hard and cruel and because you are thinking everything around you is bad. And thereby you become hard-hearted. Or you become soft-hearted. But the coffee also went through the same process. And it cherished that process. And it rather than becoming hard-hearted or soft-hearted, it released its own special aroma. And by that aroma, it attracted everyone to its aroma and lot of people were attracted by it. So we have to decide for ourselves, how do we want to treat the obstacles and hindrances on the path of bhakti? Either we become soft-hearted and say, "Oh, I can't do this anymore," or we become hard-hearted and say, "No matter what, I will do it," or become like a coffee bean, where we become so seasoned in Krishna bhakti that our aroma spreads all around us. And thereby, all our anarthas can be taken away. So, obstacles are in our path. Krishna places it for a reason to conquer our own anarthas. Every obstacle we conquer is something within us that we captured. One anartha more that we were able to destroy. And so we have to be diligent in killing this anarthas. I'm going to read the last paragraph in this one. Saptasura represents bad habits. It required so many stout coward men to put the cart together and pile up all utensils. By a mere touch of Krishna's lotus feet smashed by the cart, by the mere touch of Krishna's lotus feet, smashed the cart to pieces and scattered all utensils. With our own efforts, we cannot do anything. But by Krishna's mercy, our bad habits can be destroyed in a moment. When moving on this path of Krishna consciousness, Krishna relieves us of that sense that we carry this heavy load of bad habits. So we have to take shelter of Krishna in order to remove our own obstacles in our life. We cannot do it on our own. The next process is steadiness. When you follow the previous two processes, then steadiness is achieved. When a person develops faith, he can think about a subject and understand it, whereas one cannot do so without Shraddha. Indeed, only a person with Shraddha can reflect anything. So what is faith? Faith is unflinching confidence that upon attaining one thing, Krishna Bhakti, one is provided with all other desirable achievements. Absolute faith, unflinching faith, rests in Krishna Bhakti only. Faith in any other result or any other process will be unavoidable, transient and ultimately disappointing. Attaining this faith rests upon Guru Kripa, which includes very careful guidance and training. That is faith. You completely have faith in Krishna and then you do not have to worry about anything. If there was some major disaster happening, the first thing children do is look for protection towards their parents. The same thing should be true for us. In no matter what condition we are, we always seek protection for Krishna. And thereby, we have that our faith develops in Him so powerful that when big things come, it do not affect us. In English, there is a proverb, take care of big things will take care of themselves. Same way, for small things, if you put proper faith in Krishna, then for big things, you will never doubt yourself. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life, which is called Vyasmita Buddhi intelligence. That is what will come. So Srila Prabhupada, this is the last one. I will read real quick. So that is required. Tatho nishta ruchi tatha ashaktis tatho bhava sadakanam ayam prema. I'm going to continue a little down. The same thing is described by Rupa Goswami. As it is said here, nasta prayeshu abhadreshu. This abhadra, this anartha nivritti sat. Bhakti, when it takes seriously to the bhakti path, then the test is that he has given up all nonsense, unwanted activities. Very crucial to remember. When you take to the path of bhaktis steadily and hopefully faster than not very slowly, you start to give unwanted things. And we start with the four pillars first. We give up the four pillars and slowly and steadily we will come to more and more things that we want to give up, including criticism of devotees, pride, enviousness. All those will go away. Down towards the end, we shall only follow the path chalked out by the six Goswamis. We shall not deviate. With this determination, if you go on, everything is clear. There is no difficulty to become liberated or devotee of Krishna. The path is given. Krishna has given us a guide in form of a guru holding our finger. And what are we holding back? We are the one pushing back. We have not let ourselves go yet. And so we are suffering. The next verse. So after we have followed all this, so what occurs after a devotee reaches nishta or steadiness? Let's say together. Tadarajastamo bhava kama lovascha cheche cheta ati adhyatam sitam sattve prasityati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effect aspects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from heart. And then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So normal constitution position is Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi, state of self-satisfaction. That is the position of our normal heart. There are two definitions or conditions, positions of a living entity. One is called Jiva Bhuta and other is called Brahma Bhuta. As long as a living entity has a misconception that I am this body, then you are a Jiva Bhuta, because you do everything for the maintenance of the body. Complete self-realization that I am not this body, I am the soul, then that is Brahma Bhuta, because that is the point when you start doing things for the satisfaction of the soul. Devotional service is not an activity but unalloyed activity to the soul. So you may be not doing anything physically, but it is every activity that you do for your benefit of the soul, that is devotional service. Prabhupada in his purport is saying this: an educated non-devotee is dangerous, but a devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. An educated non-devotee uses every word of Krishna and twists it to make it for his own benefit. Versus a devotee, even if he has not read all the scriptures, maybe he is not a Mahabhagavata in reading the Mukha Bhagavat, he is truly a Mahabhagavata internally, because he has that faith in Krishna, and so he will never do anything naturally what Krishna has not prescribed in and described in his books. Because as Krishna said, when you get bhakti, all qualities come to you naturally. No separate endeavor is required. So if that is true, then a devotee will never do anything which Krishna has told us not to do. A devotee is always qualified by the good qualities of life. As and more you become devotee, you get the qualities of the Lord. It is always said that we have the same qualities as the Lord in a minute quantity. The quantity is different, but quality wise we are the same. And as we become better devotees, then the qualities of the Lord manifest in us, and those qualities which make us the devotee. So we will also be greedy. It's not like our greed will go away, but we will be now greedy for Krishna's service. And so that is how the qualities will manifest. In depth of Krishna consciousness, in which all material desires are destroyed, the heart plunges in pure goodness. So as we follow Krishna consciousness, our material desires will be killed. We will not have those desires anymore. So it is difficult to advance under the grip of passion and ignorance because of these problems. First comes passion. From passion we have distraction, and the moment we have distraction, then comes ignorance, because we are distracted, so we don't know what we are doing. And by ignorance, then we are always lazy. It's like, oh, you know what, forget it, I am better off sleeping and all those things. And then as we go, more negative qualities appear. So we have to be very careful about this passion and be very careful how we put it in this. Srila Prabhupada says, because everything is within the heart, we become greedy. We become lusty on account of distortion of heart disease, kama. Tada radi lobha kamo apnyoti. That is a heart disease. This kama and lobha is a heart disease. Actually, you do not require this, but it is kind of a disease. More, more, and more, and more, and more. Never satisfied. So we have to cure this disease. And this process, simple process, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. To cure the heart disease of lusty desires and greediness is chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the sastric injunction spoken by the personalities like Lord Chaitanya and other acharyas. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada is explaining in here that a Brahman is in the Brahma Bhuta stage, and that is the highest, one of the highest place a living entity goes. But a Vaishnava is already a Brahman. He is much higher than a Brahman. He is Prasanatma. A Vaishnava is Prasanatma. How to lead to the Prasanatma stage? First, you start with devotional services. By doing devotional services, you will slowly be situated in the mode of goodness. As you are situated in the mode of goodness, you will become a Brahmana or knower of Brahman. and you will acquire the Brahma Bhuta stage or self-realization. By acquiring self-realization, you will be prasiddhati. You will become fully satisfied. And as you progress in fully satisfied, you will become prasanatma. Because once you are satisfied, happiness follows. So the key to everything is again devotional service. If you read Bhagavad Gita, most of the ending chapters of Srila Prabhupada tells us, do devotional service. In some or the other form, he says, the summary of every chapter you go, devotional service is what he pushes towards us. Prabhupada is saying in here again, to understand Krishna, it will require Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, there is nothing. How to get Krishna's mercy? One can understand Krishna by constantly engaged in his service. Tesham satatam yuktanam. Not that weekly once to go church. No, 24 hours satatam yuktanam engaged in Krishna's service. That is Krishna conscious movement. We are teaching people on how to become 24 hours engaged in Krishna's service. This is our business. We do not allow karma, jnana, yoga. No, simply that is Krishna bhakti. Janma karmadye avritam. There is no question of jnana and karma. That is not pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means ananya abhilasa shunyam jnana karmadye anvartanam anukalena Krishna ulisnam. Simply by to serve Krishna favorably as Krishna becomes pleased. So we have to remember one thing. When we do devotional service, we don't do service on what we want to do. We want to think on what can I do that will please Krishna. The moment we want to do what we want to do, then it becomes our own desire. But we want to do akarma. Thereby we want to only do whatever we can for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. Then it is pure bhakti, pure devotion. And when we get that, then we get Krishna's mercy. The next two stages are described in here is ruchi or taste. A heart not pierced by sense objects develops a distaste for sense objects. So when you acquire higher taste for Krishna consciousness, then you do not like anything which is not Krishna conscious. There is so many things out there now that we are not attracted to it anymore. When we all came to US, in some or the other form, we are attracted to so many things that US had to offer. Because this is the place to satisfy your sense gratification to the highest form. Prabhupada always used to say, anything you want to do for sense gratification, US will provide you. You know, winter, come winter, lot of winter activities. Come summer, lot of summer activities. And thereby, there is this attraction for sense objects. But as you progress in Krishna consciousness, higher taste. That everything, all those becomes distaste. We think, why am I wasting my time here? What am I doing? You know, is there any sense in this? We start to question ourselves. And thereby, we develop a strong distaste to sense object. And with ruchi for Krishna well established, everything material becomes tasteless. The tenth one is atha ashakti or firm attachment. Attachment is only for Krishna. Service is for Krishna and instructions of the spiritual master. When a service is done with attachment, then we are very careful in doing it. Material attachment leads to one's downfall. So, one of the BTGs I was reading, this one Prabhu was saying he hated his job and he was thinking, what am I doing in this job and how can I get attached to my job? And eventually he concludes the whole topic saying, if I do my job as my service to Krishna, because I am in a vanaprastha, I have a family to take care, if I do my job as a service to Krishna, then that whole thing becomes a service and then I will do it with proper due care and diligence and not negligent. So attachment is needed, but that attachment has to be proper place. My family, my parents, my country, my house, my lunch and my dinner. We are so attached to it. You have some nice food in your drawer and you don't want to share. Aditi Sachi always do that. You know, when they get chocolates, they're like, mine, mine, mine. And we have to figure, and I always tell them, the more you give, the more you will get. It is not like things will be taken away from you. Things more you will get. When there is some service you are doing, and you are doing very nicely, you see somebody else is taking equal attention, care and interest in their service. Happily empower that person with the service you are doing. It is not a loss of your service, but it is a gain of a person in Krishna's path. The loss, when you lose the service, Krishna will give you a much different service. The new person comes your way and shows that interest because Krishna wants that person to come into the service. At the same time, he wants you to pick up something else. There are thousands of people out there that one person came towards you. Why is it? Take that as a blessing of Krishna trying to tell you there is something different in store for you. So don't be so attached that you cannot detach yourself. At the same time, don't be so detached that you don't know what you are doing. There is a very fine line, and we have to remember what that fine line is. As Prabhupada says, attachment with detachment. Always do it with full attachment, so we are very careful in what we are doing, but with so much detachment that we are not in despair when something is lost. And that loss can be anything. It can be a material loss also. There is no such thing as spiritual loss. We have to understand that. There is no such thing as spiritual loss. Everything that we lose is actually our gain. Even if a Vaishnava criticizes us, it is to our benefit. Think of it always that whatever comes our way is by the mercy of Krishna. Attachment is by the mercy of Krishna and detachment is by the mercy of Krishna. Then there is no problem. But if you do not have that, then there is a problem. So attach only one place very firmly, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Don't do that with detachment. Attach it so strongly, you should be like a leech, that nobody can take you away from that place. That is the lotus feet of Krishna. And when you are at the lotus feet of Krishna, when you are at somebody's feet, that means you are opening yourself for that person to use you any way he deems fit. You are ready to become their slave. That is the meaning of putting yourself at somebody's lotus feet, is you are ready to become their personal slave. And thereby, that is our position in Krishna consciousness. Krishna, I am your slave. You are my master. Use me the way you deem fit. And let me know what I should do, and I will do it without any question. The summary of the 19th chapter. When the effects of passion and ignorance, lust, greed or so on no longer affect us, we become situated in goodness and feel fully happy. So as anarthas come out from us, we will become more situated in goodness, and as goodness comes, then we become more happy. You will usually find that people are very happy when they do not have a lot of negativity in them. Because they don't have time to think negativity. I personally think if you have to criticize somebody, that person is not at a loss, but you are at a loss. Because it takes a lot of effort to criticize somebody. Because if I go openly to criticize somebody, before that, I have to build so much hate within myself that I can go upfront to tell them. And thereby, I am in always anxiety that, oh my God, this person, I cannot tolerate, I cannot stand him. And thereby, that is our loss. So we have to remove the anarthas and come go to the positive side. The glass is always full. It is our view that we saw that top part being less full or more full. You know, the glass is full as much as we need it. And it will become more fuller when we need it. But we don't have to worry about other things. So after, what does a progressive soul experience after a shakti? Let's say this together. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavata bhakti yogata bhagavata tattva vijnanam mukta sangas jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the state of liberation from the material, from all material association. Scientific knowledge of Krishna is only known through devotional service, bhakti yoga. So you can read all kinds of books and scriptures and say, you know this, you know that. That is not true. You know Krishna, the knowledge is revealed. During Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there was a Brahmana. He was an illiterate Brahmana, didn't know anything. He didn't know reading and writing. But he would sit in front of a Bhagavad Gita and keep on reading it. In fact, the book was upside down. He would read it. He would sit there looking at the page and keep crying. And all these so-called elevated Brahmanas would laugh at him, saying, what is this illiterate person going to talk about philosophy? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to him and says, I see you with the open book and crying. Why are you crying? And you are illiterate, so how can you read? So he's saying, my Guru Maharaj told me I should read. So I'm having the book and I'm trying to read. I'm illiterate, so I cannot read. But just by being with this book, I am feeling so nice that I cannot stop my tears. Because it is as if I am with Krishna. So this Brahmana had no need to read the scriptures, no need to do the philosophy, no need like me to spend hours doing whatever I was doing. He was already endowed with devotional service. I took hours to prepare this PowerPoint presentation. So maybe that tinge of bhakti comes in me. Maybe I won't have to do the PowerPoint presentation next time. So that knowledge of devotional service only comes through Krishna. So why are we bothered about reading hundreds and thousands of scriptures? It is already told that for this age and this yuga, Swakatha is needed. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost literature. But then Srimad Bhagavatam is like doing a master's. So in order to do your master's, you have to at least graduate. So we should first focus on reading Bhagavad Gita and then do our master's by Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding Krishna's message. But it is not a necessity to understand Krishna's message only through devotional practices. Lot of people in India, we see, they have this glow on their face because of that devotion in them. You look at them and you are feeling, oh my God, they have so much devotion in them. But they are angutha chhap. They don't know to read or write. But that doesn't matter. They have full knowledge of Krishna on what we are trying to achieve right now. Prasadi Mataji was telling me that when we started this Bhakti Vaibhav class, you know, she has an intense desire to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So she approached Radha Krishna Prabhu and said, Prabhu, I want to do Srimad Bhagavatam and attend the classes and stuff, but I don't have time. So Radha Krishna Prabhu said, what is the use for you to do all that? You are already living your life on what Bhagavatam is trying to make us teach. You are already doing everything what Bhagavatam is trying to make you do. So you don't need to read anything because you have already advanced. That doesn't mean we stop, but that means that despite of whatever we read, whatever we do, Krishna is still placing devotional service to the topmost. There is nothing higher than devotional service. You cannot go higher than devotional service. You do devotional service, you are at the topmost. When a qualified Brahmana factually becomes a Vaishnava in enlivened state of liberation, he can know what is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brahmana state, you know who you are. As you progress slowly, then you know who Paramatma is. You do not know everything about Paramatma in the Brahmana stage. So as you reach the Vaishnava stage, more and more things will be revealed to you. So we always use these words. What is Brahmana and Vaishnava? Brahmana and Vaishnava. This is what I found on what is the meaning of Brahmana and Vaishnava. Brahmana is one who is firmly situated in the mode of goodness by above the influence of modes of passion and ignorance. The character traits of Brahmana are described in Bhagavad Gita as peacefulness, austerity, simplicity, sense control, cleanliness, honesty, religiousness. These are the qualities of a Brahmana. Literally, Brahmana means one who knows or has realized Brahman. But a Brahmana is also under the influence of modes of nature, since goodness is also one of the material modes. A Vaishnava, on the other hand, is imbued with devotion to the Supreme Lord, which is situated beyond the dutiful platform of religiousness. By the virtue of his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a pure Vaishnava actually transcends the mode of material nature by direct service to the Supreme Lord. He is situated beyond the four social orders. An unalloyed Vaishnava has all qualifications of a Brahmana, yet such a Vaishnava is more than a Brahmana. One time in the Mukunda Prabhu's class, I asked him the difference of a Brahmana and Vaishnava. And in a very short way, he explained it to me. Brahmana is one who does things for himself and self-realization of his soul. Vaishnava is one who has already realized it and he works very hard to bring other souls to that self-realization. So he gives himself, opens himself up to other people to bring them to Krishna consciousness. We all have heard about the story of a rich man's son. You know, if a rich man's son is lost, a person can do multiple things. One is he can give him some money and say, I hope this helps you. Two, he can take, first he can ignore him. Second, he can give him some money and or some food and say, I hope this helps you. Or third, he can actually contact the father and say, I have your son. And the father will forever be very, very obliged that he brought my son back, whom I had lost. Vaishnava is the third one. He takes in charge. He wants to bring all us lost souls back to Godhead, back to Krishna. And that is a Vaishnava. The next four stages of spiritual development are described here. One is Rati, which is fondness. Fondness, unless you like something, you cannot fall in love. That is very crucial, that we have a deep fondness for something. In order to love something, we have to like it first. And thereby, that fondness comes first to devotional practices, to devotees, to Bhagavatam, to reading, to association. All that fondness or liking comes first. Hundreds of people are coming to our temple every day now. It is because they are liking to come. That doesn't mean all of them are going to develop prema towards Krishna, devotional love. But they at least are liking to love Krishna. And that is one of the stages of spiritual development. Just by coming to the temple, they are developing spiritually. One thing we have to remember, nobody can enter Krishna's temple if Krishna doesn't wish them to enter. You are not bringing them, I am not bringing them. Krishna is bringing them. Krishna is saying, I want this person to come. And his devotees are just nimitta matra. We are nimitta of what are Krishna's desire. So, those people should always be treated with utmost care because they are not our guests. They are guests of Krishna. Then comes devotional love or prema. The quickest way to achieve prema is to stay in company of those people who know its value. The association of first caste pure Vaishnava has the power to evoke prema in aspirant's heart. When we see people around us who have this deep devotion and love for Krishna, we aspire to become like them. And we always say, I wish I had a tinge of what he or she has. We read these books and we look on to devotees who have this amazing love for God and we always wish, I wish I had little bit of what they have. That is the company and the association which is bringing us to that stage. Prema is not achieved by any other method such as kama or jnana. Devotees should therefore disregard those methods and simply busy themselves with devotional service of hearing, chanting, remembering and so on. Shranam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. We have to do those things and that is the only way to achieve prema. The nine processes described by Prahlad Maharaj. In Brahad Bhava Amritam, Narad Muni explains to Gopakumar how to achieve Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual planet in the spiritual sky. Narada's teaching is that to achieve this most exalted goal, two primary qualities are required. Matured stages of prema and danya. Utter humility. One without the other, it's not even possible to go to. It is possible they go together. Genuine humility enhances oneness. One's eagerness to be situated in one's relationship with Krishna and vice versa. So, you may have love, but if you are not humble, you will be held back. You will be held back. It is like, you know, you are going through an exam and you didn't pass, so you got held back. And it is because of your own fault. It is your holdback. You have everything. You have all the ingredients, but the crucial ingredient is humility. If you do not have that, then it is useless. Even in our material dealings, if we are proud, those things fail. Sorry. I've been showed the clock, so I will go faster. Athadarshanam, vision and audience. It means to get vision of the Lord and audience with the Lord. This can only come after prema. This is the Brahma Samhita verse. We cannot see Krishna without our mundane eyes. We need our eyes tinged with love to see Krishna. And the last one is direct experience of Hari's sweetness. So only when we have the above stages, then we can experience what Hari is all about, like the gopis in Vrindavan. So the summary, by engaging devotional service, one becomes enlivened and liberated from association with lust and other vices. In this way, pure positive knowledge is manifest, whereby the Lord appears in and outside of the heart. Let's sing this together. Prithyante hridaya granthe chityante sarva samsaya krishyante krishya karmani drishtate mamaneshware. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees the self as the master. This is Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Andhakar, Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi, Mahaya Adhikar. So in this verse, Prabhupada is also saying in Srimad Bhagavatam also, he's saying, Krishna is like the sun, and the materialistic speculations about the absolute truth are like darkness, midnight. As soon as Krishna sun is risen within one's heart, the darkness of materialistic speculations about the absolute truth and the living beings are at once cleared off. So, wherever there is Krishna, there is no ignorance. Because where there is Krishna, Maya has no adhikar. So, we always have to keep Krishna in the front. The moment we keep, if the sun is in the front, the shadow is in the back. If the sun is in the back, the shadow is in the front. In the similar way, if Krishna is in the front, then the shadow will never come before us. But even if we move Krishna slightly away, immediately shadow. Immediately Maya sees that opening and she will enter. So we have to always remember to keep Krishna in front of us. That knowledge, perfect knowledge of that only comes through parampara. Coming down from authority of submissive oral receiver who is bona fide by service and surrender. So we cannot get the knowledge on how to keep Krishna in front of us just because we wish it. We have to have the knowledge which comes from parampara, and we have to accept this knowledge in the mood of surrender. If a teacher says 2 plus 2 is 4 and we are challenging it, then everything is lost because we will never learn anything. But if we do not challenge it and very submissively ask the teacher how, she will explain it to us. And thereby, we will know how did we derive to a certain conclusion. So, if we do everything in the mood of surrender, then our reception is much clearer. When we do in the mood of challenge, our mind is agitated and we are in the mood of how can we challenge the next statement he is saying. We try to think ahead. But because we are in the mood of surrender, we will zip up. And we will try and listen what the other person is saying. So it is not hearing, it is listening. Seeing the Lord increase our eagerness to serve Him. That eagerness powerfully overrules our feeling to be disqualified for this service. Please remember this. We often hear from people, oh, I don't know if I'm qualified. Maybe I'm not qualified to do this. Maybe I shouldn't do it. My qualification isn't such. Don't think that. If you are getting a service, not with one hand, both hands receive it. It's like I am getting something. My quality will be determined by how I do it. When every one of us started, we didn't have the quality. But Krishna empowered us and gave us whatever we needed. So don't say that I am disqualified. Our feelings are of no use in this instance. Your eagerness is what counts. We see so many new people coming and they are eager to serve. And that service is what brings them to Krishna consciousness. It is not their thinking of whether I am there or I am not there. So please take the service with eagerness and, you know, keep those speculations of your qualifications aside. The moment you feel I am qualified or not qualified, then your pride is speaking. You are proud of the fact that I have some qualities, but I have not other qualities. But in fact, we have no qualities. We have no quality to serve Krishna. But still Krishna is letting us serve Him. So overrule the feeling and just serve Him. key points. Knot in the heart is Hridaya Granthi. That knot is what Krishna has to untie. And he will untie it by our service. That knot is Ahankara. Because we are distinguishing between matter and spirit. We are not able to distinguish. Krishna will untie the knot for us. When the knot is loosened, all doubts are cleared. And one sees his master and engages himself fully in transcendental loving service. Srila Prabhupada is saying this, and I would really like to read this. This is very beautiful. Just like there is a proverb, the vulture goes very high, 3 miles, 4 miles high. It is very difficult for us to fly single-handed. But the aim is, where is the dead body? He is looking forward. Where is the dead body? The aim is not very good. He is looking for some dead corpse to eat. That is his business. But when he has gone very high, 4 miles high, similarly, all these so-called rascal scientists, their aim is how to stuck up in this knot of material existence, and they are trying to become so many things. You see, Hridaya Granthi. Real attachment is here. Just like the hog, the real attachment is stool, but he is getting very fat. Oh, I am so happy, you see. So this is going on. Nature is very clear. Just to make you attached to stool, she gives you a certain type. Certain body, type of body, hog. You become very pleased. Ooh, I am so happy. I am in heaven. Similarly, sometimes Indra, the king of heaven, he was cursed to become a hog. And he became a hog. He had so many kiddies, wife, and living in filthy place, eating stool. So Brahma came that for his absence, the management in heavenly kingdom is not going nice. So he came, Indra, now please come with me. Where shall I go to, sir? Heaven. What is that? I cannot go. I have got responsibility. I have got my wife, my children. I am happier. I don't know what heaven is. That is Hridaya Granthi. Krishna is telling you, come. Come with me. But we are saying, nope. I am attached to my mundane life. Prabhupada explains this very beautifully. So by Krishna conscious movement, if people take to it seriously, become advanced. The same process. Swarnam Swakatha Krishna. Prabhupada is repeating this. He had repeated it previously also in his lectures. And again he is saying, simply hearing about Krishna as we are doing, then gradually come to the platform of goodness, and lower modes of material nature, namely ignorance and passion, cannot disturb us. We become situated in goodness, and then gradually this stage comes. Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavata Bhakti Yogata. You become gladdened. You become and joyful by discharging devotional service, and that knots, you will no more be interested in this life of material existence. Pridyate Hridaya Granthi. So the crucial instruction for Prabhupada for us in this is, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, and that is intense greed to obtain it. If that is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. That is what Ramanand Raya says in Chaitanya Charitamritam. So we have to have that greed. Greed is okay. Greed for Krishna conscious and their service is very okay. And service is there everywhere. Everywhere it is there. It is our own anarthas by which we are not seeing what service is there for us. So there is the session summary. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving devotees, all inauspiciousness is completely destroyed. By pleasing a devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefits of a book Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Seva, remember, not Bhagavan Seva. Serve the devotees nicely and everything will follow for you. Swakatha Krishna, by Krishna only should be heard. Everything which is spoken by Krishna, written by Krishna, in relation to Krishna should only be heard and read. Nothing else. Everything else is useless and mundane. By devotional service, all good qualities automatically appear in a bhakta and no separate endeavor is needed. Devotional service is not inactivity but unalloyed service to the soul. So we have to figure out how will our soul be happy. To cure the heart disease of lusty desires and greediness is the cure to heart disease of lusty desires and chanting is Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. A Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. Scientific knowledge of Krishna is only known through devotional service. So don't try any other knowledge. Just keeping doing your service, everything will be relieved. Two primary qualities, mature stages of prema and Dainya, humility. We always have to follow these two. Always keep Krishna in the front and everything else, and Maya will always remain in the background. Liberation is to identify one as the original form directly. This we talked in one of our classes, and Prabhupada is stressing on this in his purport. He's saying liberation doesn't mean going to Goloka Vrindavan. Liberation means that you identify your original form, which is the servant of Krishna, and your soul is surrendered to the servant of the servant of Krishna, then everything is in the right place, and that is liberation. Then whatever way Krishna keeps you, you are always happy, prasanatma, because we are in the mode of liberation, nothing affects us. These are the 14 stages of spiritual development which were covered up till here. And so, mercy of devotees like Narad Muni, like Dhruva Maharaj and the hunter. One thing I would like to point out in this, Narad Muni is so elevated. He was so elevated that he could see Krishna, go to Krishna at any time. But he was not proud that, oh, this is a small boy. What is he going to do? Or this is a hunter. He is a killer. He does not need my mercy. He did not judge that. He was compassionate to everybody. And we have to remember that we do not judge anybody by who or what they are. We judge them by their soul and thereby we try and be compassionate to them. Mahat Seva, service to devotees like Narad Muni did to the sages. Faith, Shraddha, Prahlad Maharaj had complete faith in Krishna. So nothing ever happened to him. Everybody else around him died. But him, he was always protected. Guru Prashaya, seeking shelter of Guru's feet. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted the shelter of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And he was so diligent in seeking that shelter. Despite of being pushed away so many times, he did not leave that shelter. And thereby, he eventually got the shelter and he progressed amazingly in Krishna consciousness. Eagerness to worship Krishna. This is, I think everybody knows the story of Raghunandana. He was so eager that Krishna should eat, he was ready to fight with Krishna. You have to eat, Krishna, because I want you to eat. And because of his eagerness to worship him, Krishna reciprocated and he actually ate. How many of us have that eagerness? We don't have that much eagerness to worship. Bhakti, disappearance of obstacles. In this, I would like to say our own temple is a prime example. All of us had seen so many obstacles which placed day in, day out, and Krishna took one of them out from us because we had full faith in him. Steadiness, Amrish Maharaj. Despite of the curse of Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj's anger, Amrish Maharaj was very steady in where he was in Krishna Bhakti. Firm attachment like Arjuna. Arjuna was so attached to Krishna, he killed millions of people because Krishna wanted him to. Fondness, devotional love. Vision or audience, like Dhruva Maharaj, even when he had the vision of Krishna, and then he realized what he had. And last is direct experience of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj, Gopi, Shabri, all of those had direct experience with Krishna. Krishna is giving us direct experience day in, day out. Even one time, with full focus, chant your Mahamantra and see the amazing effects of the Mahamantra. So, last is, preliminary faith is nurtured through association of saintly persons to the point, and I'll just go through the slide. Once you have sadhu sangha, then comes faith. By sangha comes faith, and then you start bhajanakriya, devotional practices. As you keep on doing devotional practices, your obstacles are removed and your firm faith and nishtha, and you become more fixed. As you become more fixed, taste is developed. By taste, you come to a state of bhava or ecstasy, and finally you come to deep devotional love for Krishna. So everything again starts with sadhu sangha and devotional service. Those two things, Bhagavata and service to Bhagavatas. So these are some jokes that I found on ISKCON Desire Tree which pertain to what we learnt yesterday. So Krishna has given us so many books, so many things. And despite of the fact, we are asking, Krishna, how will I pass my exam of this material life? It is just like what this child is doing, you know. He has everything he wants, and still we are asking him, Krishna, I want to pass, show me the way, show me how I can go. Isn't that always our question to our Guru Maharaj? The next one, All of us have hoarded so much in our lives. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine. And one moment comes and everything is lost. One moment come and poor guy lost all his teeth. Definitely you don't want to be this. This guy, he's saying here that he was sitting here 60 years ago during the Independence Day on the same footpath in the same corner with the same bowl. And he remembers it. Same way, life after life, we are sitting in the same spot with the same bowl looking for mercy and thinking maybe Krishna will come to us. Please don't do that. Try and mature in your devotional services. This person did not mature, so he's still where he is. So maturity in devotional service is extremely required. And when you go to the temple, remember who is your point of worship. This lady is going with the flowers to worship the actor. And not God himself, because the actor is coming there. Remember whom you are going to the temple for. You are not going for anybody else but Krishna. So at this time, these are the references I have received, I have gone through. I don't know if some of you know or not, but I found PrabhupadaVani.org has all of Prabhupada's transcripts of his lectures. So it is very easy to sometimes read if you don't have time to listen to an 1 hour lecture. Sometimes reading can take 15-20 minutes. And the transcripts are really good. I this time encourage you to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.